This is James Taylor with Theater Talk. It's tempting to write off Alan Bennett's The History Boys as just another well-written play about a group of British prep school mates. The History Boys is very smart, very British, but it's not simply another Dead Poet Society or To Sir With Love-style inspirational drama. No, this is the one where the teacher who touches each of his students' minds and some of his students' balls. Offstage, thankfully, The History Boys is a rollicking piece of good, mostly clean theatrical entertainment. In the play, one of the students defines apotheosis as a perfect example of its type. And indeed, The History Boys is the apotheosis of the 21st century non-musical play. It doesn't demand too much from audiences. It's stuffed with cultural references, scored with spiky Britpop music from the 80s, and spliced with film segments projected above the stage to make sure that the 2.5-hour show never gets dull, even to people with iPods. It's a crowd pleaser, but in the best sense of the word. Much of why The History Boys became that all-too-rare example of a blockbuster play is due to its original cast, who were uniformly excellent. Last month, The History Boys finally made it to Los Angeles in a restaging of that original Nicholas Heitner production, but without any of the original cast, and with only one British actor. The good news is, Bennett's play doesn't get lost in translation. The History Boys you see at the Amundsen is in many regards what audiences saw in London or on Broadway. H. Richard Green, Charlotte Cornwell, and Peter Page acquit themselves nicely in performances that are faithful to, but not facsimiles of, the original actors. The only significant shortcoming is surprisingly not the lead role of Hector, but in the History Boys themselves. The 8 honor students were originally played with such wit, sparkle, and charm that one was blissfully diverted, most importantly, diverted from the play's flaws. Here, the 8 young American actors can only be faulted for A-minus work instead of A-plus work. But as a result of this slightly diminished chemistry and verve, the cracks in Bennett's script are much more easily detected. A funny thing, though. The History Boys' experience benefits in some ways from a less polished performance. The original cast almost promised too much. Seeing them on Broadway, the first act was so much fun and brimmed with so many ideas that I was sure the second act would resolve all of its brilliance perfectly. It didn't. The play glides to a satisfying conclusion, but many of Bennett's narrative and thematic threads seem twisted out of shape to get there. The History Boys is not a masterpiece. It does, however, have one scene where Hector and his student discuss a Thomas Hardy poem that is a classic.
Oh, the best moments in reading are when you come across something, a thought, a feeling, a way of looking at things that you had thought special and particular to you. And there it is, set down by someone else, a person you never met, someone even who is long dead. And it is as if a hand has come out and taken yours.
That's Dakin Matthews as Hector, the Falstaffian professor. For an actor to step into this massive role so soon after Richard Griffith's titanic interpretation of Hector is as thankless as it is daunting. Matthews plays Hector as a clever maitre d', guarding the velvet ropes of knowledge, whereas Griffith's Hector was content to stand in line. Matthews is a great choice for this L.A. premiere, and future Hectors will benefit from the insights he passes along. The History Boys runs through this Sunday at the Amundsen Theater. This is James Taylor with Theater Talk for KCRW.